The Los Angeles Dodgers took game one of the World Series last night, beating the Tampa Bay Rays 8-3.
And he pulls one into right center. Back at the track, at the wall, is gone. Bellinger makes it 2-0 Dodgers here in the fourth of game one.
Joe Buck with the call on Fox. Game two is tonight. Meanwhile, the Dodgers and Rays operate on opposite ends of the sports financial spectrum in terms of what they pay their players, yet posted the best records in their respective leagues to reach the World Series. There are arguments about whether this frugality is good for the game. In-depth analysis from Jared Diamond, national baseball writer at the Wall Street Journal. He's with us from the World Series in Arlington. Jared, how do you see it?
This is the ultimate in haves and have-nots in terms of a World Series matchup. On the one side, you have the Dodgers, who really are the epitome of blue blood in baseball. This is a team that has spent more money on players than anybody in the league in the last 7, 8, 9 years. They have seemingly a limitless budget to do so, and it has built them this incredible roster with depth at every position, the ability to just sort of spend very freely on free agents. And we saw that, of course, with the contract extension they gave to Mookie Betts earlier this summer for about $365 million. The Rays, on the other hand, are probably, relatively speaking, the poorest team in all of baseball. Their revenues are very low. They never spend any money. In fact, their entire payroll in a normal year, which is usually around $65, $70 million, is less than what the Dodgers are paying their three biggest stars. So that's a whole team versus three players. That's really the difference here. And yet, in spite of all of that, they're both here in the World Series competing for a championship.
This all comes down to analytics.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. The Rays, of course, have built this incredible machine by running their team essentially like a hedge fund. It's ruthless. I wouldn't necessarily call it fun all the time. It makes it very difficult, I think, for fans to grow attached to players because they're constantly sort of being changed and shifted out. Players don't really stay in Tampa Bay long because they don't have the resources to sign them once they get too expensive. But thanks to this really incredible front office that they have really cultivated now over the last dozen years, they have found a way to compensate for the shortcomings they have financially. And like other teams have done it, we look at the Oakland A's, the Moneyball A's, who've also found a way to have success with little, but the Rays have done better with even less than the A's have ever done. This is the second time the Rays have been in the World Series. They were there in 2008 as well. They've been very successful pretty much ever since then. And the great irony of this World Series is that their former general manager, Andrew Friedman, the person that really built everything the Rays have accomplished in the last decade, is now the president of the Dodgers. So it's a little bit of a personal matchup there as well.
Speaking with Jared Diamond, national baseball writer at the Wall Street Journal. He's taking a look at the economies of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays as they face each other in the World Series. You quoted the Tampa Bay GM as saying that this is great for baseball. Does that mean it's great for fans? Because I don't know if you run out and buy a Randy Arozarena jersey right now.
Yeah, this is really, I think, the question at hand, and is this good for baseball? And I think it's complicated. On the one hand, there's something very charming about the underdog story, sure, and that's what the Rays are. It's really hard not to sort of fall in love with a team of a bunch of guys you've never heard of going up against the team of superstars and potentially beating them. Remember, the Rays, just to get here, had to beat the Yankees, who had the highest payroll in baseball this year. They had to beat the Astros, who had the third highest payroll in baseball this year, and now they're playing the Dodgers, who were number two. So they have a chance to beat 1, 2, and 3 in payroll, where they were number 28 out of 30.
Incredible.
Which is amazing. But on the other hand, and there's certainly a large sect of baseball fans who see it this way, is that there's something perhaps a little disconcerting about rewarding a team that operates like the Rays. You know, right now, baseball's economics are at a very interesting place. We're heading toward the end of the collective bargaining agreement in a year, and it's looking like it's going to be a very, very, very big fight, largely because we've seen around baseball ownership as a group really retrenching, not spending as much on free agents as they once did, not being as competitive in those marketplaces. And a big reason for that is that they're seeing, hey, with data and analytics and player development systems, we don't need to spend a lot to win. And the Rays sort of show that.
Thanks, Jared. Jared Diamond, national baseball writer at the Wall Street Journal, with us from Arlington.